Welcome to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Driven to Business is a business forum program that focuses on success principles in business. And now, it's time for Driven to Business.
Hello and happy Thanksgiving here on this Thanksgiving edition of Driven to Business. I trust you're all full of turkey and having a great weekend with your family and friends. And we're going to spend a little bit of the program today talking about Thanksgiving, but sort of talking about it from a business angle. And I think you may find that a little bit interesting as we do that. By the way, we're streaming live on biz1190.com, and today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com and on iTunes. So check us out there. You know, back in 1620, this whole thing got started when 102 pilgrims came to the to this continent to escape religious persecution. I sort of tie that number down because, as far as we know, the first Mayfield, my relatives, came here in 1650, a guy named Robert Mayfield. So I always think about 30 years earlier than that, when the pilgrims arrived here. 102 of them came over here to our continent to set up a new nation. But by the fall of 1621, just a year later, 56 of them had died due to disease and privation, leaving only 46 of the pilgrims. And they, along with 91 Indians, met together to give thanks to God for a bountiful harvest and for preserving their lives. You can kind of imagine the tendency to be depressed. Their introduction to what we now know as a prosperous and great nation was marked by backbreaking work and a heartache and a lot of suffering. But as we all know, they didn't get depressed about it. They didn't sit around and moan about it. What they did was get together with the inhabitants of this land that were already here, about 91 Indians, and have a meal and give thanks for what God had done for them, and that started a great and truly American holiday, Thanksgiving. In the Old Testament, and we almost do a lot of scripture today, but in the Old Testament, the prophet Habakkuk wrote a poem that I like, and it says, "Though this fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation." A thankful heart really is a treasure. In fact, we're going to talk today on the program about not only how is having a thankful attitude good for business, it's good for you in many ways. I've never actually met anybody that I thought was worth a flip that was not a thankful person. Now, we all know people like this. We all know people who spend their lives acting as if they're entitled to things. And those are not pleasant people to be around. And generally speaking, if you'll think about it, they're not very happy people. If you think of the happiest people you know, you will think of people that are thankful. I really think the opposite of thankful is not thankless, but arrogance. Now, we all grew up, I think, believing that in business leaders were if not egotistical, at least had a very high opinion of themselves and were very autocratic, you know, didn't listen to many other people, did it their own way and all that. And for many years, that was prevailing thought in business. But Jim Collins wrote a landmark book, and he sort of shattered that myth in his book, Good to Great. Collins discovered through meticulous research that the most common trait among good to great leaders was humility. In fact, I've seen a speech by Collins, and he said when his researchers first came back to say that, he didn't believe it because it is so counterintuitive to what we normally think of in terms of good to great leaders, people that can take a company from being a good company to a great company. He calls them level five leaders. But he went back there, and they reevaluated their study, and they found out that, in fact, that's exactly what happened. In fact, Collins wrote a follow-up book on that called How the Mighty Fail. You know, the Good to Great was about how companies become great. How the Mighty, not fail, but fall, How the Mighty Fall is a study of how once mighty companies and once mighty people fall into oblivion. And again, he meticulously researched this, and what he found was that the first step to failure was what he termed hubris, born of success. And hubris is just another word for arrogance. It's arrogance that's born of success. Now, others have noted this as well. One of my favorite authors, a guy named Malcolm Gladwell. Gladwell says that overly confident people are incapable of learning from the world around them. And you could substitute the word arrogant for overly confident, because that's really what he means by that. And because they don't notice the world around them, they are often blind to the realities that everybody else can see. We often talk on Driven to Business. We've talked here many times about the need to stay constantly aware of your market, your company, your finances, and your health. All of us that have experienced any measure of success in our lives are, I think, tempted to fall into the trap of hubris born of success, because we've done something that's successful. We therefore think we know everything about it, and we sort of puff ourselves up a little bit, and then we quit listening to those around us. And not only do we stop listening, we just stop paying any attention to what's going on around us. And we seem to often be the most blind people in the world about changes that are taking place, and everybody sees them except us. And when you know, and probably you know someone that's gone through this in their life, and at the end of it, they're like, I don't know why, I never saw that coming. And there are people around them say, well, we saw it coming. I mean, it was obvious this was coming, and you didn't do anything at all about it. You know, we're most vulnerable when we have experienced success, because if we aren't careful, we allow pride in our accomplishments and successes to isolate and blind us. This isn't to denigrate drive, confidence, and leadership. In fact, even Collins in his book says very specifically that his humble leaders were extremely motivated and highly driven people. They just sort of couched it in an overall sense of humility. And they didn't assume they knew everything or that others had nothing to teach them. They were always investigating and learning about their business and market. You know, in our company, in my experience, and probably in yours, there have been profound changes that take place in the market around us. You know, none of us really saw, I don't think, the digital revolution coming. There are some folks that sort of claim they did, but if you read their books, even back in those days, and I'm talking about books like The Way Ahead by Bill Gates and people like that, that really were in a position to know, they pretty much missed what was going to come. Other than the fact that they knew technology was going to have a significant effect on people's lives, they really sort of missed it. No one, you know, something as simple as email. Think about that a minute. Nobody saw that coming. No one saw that coming. And email now, it's so interesting to me to even think about from a business standpoint, the difference between email and texting and how people receive that. You know, there was a time when I think when email first began to be used, people viewed email as a very personal way of communication. They were very hesitant to give out their email address to people. And if they got an email from somebody that didn't know them, there was a bit of a, you almost felt insulted, like, who are you to be intruding into my world here? Now, no one's like spam even now, so that I'm not suggesting that people are suddenly become open to spam. They're not. But you know where that is now? It was texting. Well, people will not give you now on a personal level. If you in business and you ask someone, hey, let me have your cell number so I can text you, you're going to probably get a resistance from people there unless you have a good relationship with them. But nobody saw that coming. But you know what? People that were leading good companies, people, the good to great type leaders, the high-level leaders, what they did was watch the ground around them. And although they couldn't anticipate what was going to happen, they did see it changing. And they adjusted adjusted in order to meet those changes. And, you know, that's why, when the idea of a website first came out, many of us just put up a website and we were copying everybody else. We were basically putting a brochure. We basically took paper brochures and we put them on the web. And they were about that useful. You know, there'd be some information on there. You could use the web, go get somebody's phone number, or maybe read. Basically, you went on the web to read an advertisement about their company. Well, you know, when's the last time you went on the web with the sole purpose of reading an advertisement about someone else's company? I would dare say you haven't done that in a long time. So again, we all had to sit around and make these change and notice the changes, and smart people adjusted themselves. Now, there are a lot of people, even back during the computer revolution, there were a lot of people that just insisted they were not going to take place in this. They're not going to have any part of it. You know, I was in some ways one of those guys. I can remember years ago, many years ago, telling a sales team that they were wasting too much time playing on their computers, and took them away. I said, you know, you don't need a computer to do sales because you're just wasting time on it. Well, that was short-sighted and stupid, and we fortunately changed our attitude about that. But you know, a lot of us did not see what was going on. I remember the first time anyone ever showed me a computer. It was a computer that one of these you hooked up to a TV screen to use as a monitor. And the guy was showing me all these stuff on it, and it did very little. If you remember, there was no hard drive, almost no memory in it or anything. And I kept asking the guy, what is this? So what does it do? What's it for? And he would give these inane answers like, well, your wife can put her recipes on it. I'm like, my wife's not going to put her recipes on it. Well, she's going to type them into this thing on the TV and look at it on the TV. I mean, they're not going to do that. But a lot of people, you know, a lot of us did not see the vision of what was going to come there. But what we did do, those of us that were successful in business and keeping our businesses going in this digital age, is we began to note what was taking place around us. And even in our flawed ways, many of us in flawed ways and several false starts and stops perhaps, but we were able to do it. But you know, if you go back to thankfulness, you know what the antithesis of arrogance really is? Thankfulness. Because being thankful comes out of humility. And it's an attitude, it's a way of life. It's a trait that others can see very clearly. Just think about yourself for a minute. Who would you rather form a business relationship with? A self-serving, arrogant know-it-all, or an humble person that values you and is thankful for your business? I mean, just think about that a minute. Well, you should be that person to not only your customers, but to your customers and your colleagues and your employees. You're listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Happy Thanksgiving. Back in just a minute. Welcome back to Driven to Business. Happy Thanksgiving. Hope you're doing well and thankful for for your blessings. You know, there's a great article a couple of years ago in Direct Marketing News called Gratitude, Business Strategy, or Common Courtesy. And they explored something that I've always thought, the idea that gratitude is a successful business strategy. Think about it for a minute at Thanksgiving this time of year. You know, it's kind of customary that we all begin to list our blessings, and you'll get together with people, and if you get everybody you get several people in a room, and you start saying, okay, what are you thankful for? You do this with kids sometime, go around, and a lot of it is like the usual material stuff, things like, you know, thankful for my house, I'm thankful for my car, clothes, so forth, you know, cell phone, so forth, so on, things that I'm thankful for. You also find people that will generally begin to say, you know, I'm kind of thankful for relationships, and they'll put that in terms of, I'm thankful for my family or my friends or my neighbors, my church, whatever, in terms of relationships. A lot of people are thankful for their jobs, especially in today's market where a job can sometimes be a problem for people. And I often think about the idea that a lot of people are just, in having traveled as much as Vicki and I have, the idea, I'm thankful to be an American, that we live in, that we live in this great country. I think I'm thankful for things like music and the beauty of things like that I think is something God gave us to do. But you know what's seldom listed by people? What they very seldom will say are branded products they use. I'm thankful for Coca-Cola or something like that. But studies show that brand appreciation is a major driver for customers. To not only continue, that they will continue to use you and your company and your products, but that they will refer friends and colleagues. Gratitude is a key psychological driver. Again, back to this article out of Direct Marketing News, you know, they say that in fact, there's a lot of studies that indicate one of the top five drivers of human behavior in thought is feeling appreciated, mainly the idea that somebody cares about you. And when customers are recognized for doing business with a brand, meaning when you thank your customers, when you recognize them for doing business with you, the odds are they will continue to do business with you. And not only will they do business with you, they will recommend you to other people. Now, that's a big deal. The idea that you know you want customers to be more loyal to you and do more things for you, well, then tell them thank you. You know, the bottom line is everybody enjoys being appreciated. Everybody. And no one likes being taken for granted. Think about this a minute. When you walk into any business, and this happens most often to me, frankly, in a restaurant type environment. You walk into a restaurant, the employees are talking to each other, they're paying no attention to you, and even though, you know, you can be reasonably patient about it, you're standing there, but just something doesn't seem right, doesn't it? When you're standing there, you've come into their place of business, and they act like you don't exist. That offends almost everyone. So if you have a business like that, don't do it. And, you know, that doesn't just apply to restaurants. A lot of us that have different kinds of businesses have to watch this as well. You know, anytime somebody walks in the front door of any business, you know, the receptionist or whoever's out there needs to be trained to acknowledge them. Don't stay on the phone with somebody and ignore the person there. At least acknowledge they're there. If you can't deal with them right now, say, hey, excuse me, I'll be right with you in just a moment. Just say something like that. That usually alleviates all the problem if you just recognize and appreciate it, because everybody wants to be appreciated. You know, when people do business with you, an appreciation can take the form of a simple verbal thank you. You can just say, hey, thanks. I know people that handwrite thank you letters. Now, my handwriting is so bad, I don't know they would know who it was from or what it said when it got there. But generally speaking, you know, in this day of electronic communications, where we're used to getting emails and text, and that, by the way, that's fine. That would work as a thank you. Send a guy a text and say, hey, I really appreciate your business. Thank you for coming in today. That carries a huge weight on getting return business out of that person, an enormous amount of weight. But think about this a minute. Just pull yourself out of the pack a little bit. You can almost go backwards out of the pack here. Send them a handwritten note. Just a little handwritten note said, hey, I really appreciate you using us for whatever it is you do. And I hope you'll come back to see us. I really appreciate you coming in. Thanks a lot for your business. And sign it. You know, that's going to stand out because for many of us, that may be the only handwritten note they get this month from anybody. So it may really work there. Think about this just a minute. How much is a customer worth you? We just went through this in our business. We're kind of looking at right now at our business, and we're marking through, you know, what do we do, not with an average customer. I don't want to talk about, and if we have time for the days, I'm going to talk about stratifying your customers a little bit in this regard. But a good customer, you know, the customer for whom you get a significant amount of business from, what is that customer worth to you? I mean, and for different businesses, that will be different things. For our business, that's a certain amount of money. For your business, it may be a different amount of money. But just think about that for a moment. What's that customer worth to you? Well, what does it take to keep? What does it cost you? On the other hand, if they leave you, and perhaps we should do all we can to keep those customers. That's a good business principle, isn't it? Well, one way to do that, a very simple way, is to thank them, show them that you appreciate what they do. In this Direct Marketing News article, they're talking about a company out in California called System Pavers, and I had never heard of the company, but they have been rewarding customers out there. Apparently, these are a kind of project type, fairly good sized projects that they do for people. They will reward if you're a customer of theirs and you refer someone else to them and it turns into a job, they give you a check for $500. And that simple act, it's simple but kind of profound, too, if you think about it. I mean, who doesn't want to get a check from somebody for $500? I mean, that's pretty good money. It's helped to build some long-lasting and rewarding relationships with customers. And what they found out was when they reward their customers like this, they don't just get a thank you letter from them. They often get that, or a thank you email. They also tend to get more repeat business from them. And not only that, they tend to get more referrals. And you could argue the money is the motivator, but it's a little deeper than that. It's a little deeper than that. It's the idea that you have shown them that you really value them and that you really do appreciate their business. And that is a very much of a win-win strategy for everybody. They've actually expanded this program out there. They've been so successful with it, they've expanded it and can actually, again, these are large projects. And with so many referrals, the customers can actually get up to a $10,000 refund on some of their large projects. Maybe you're not a business that can do that, but small tokens work as well. You can come up with many, many other things to do. Things from ball caps we were at our company. We do some business with a drive manufacturer that gave all of our technicians that work on their drives. They gave them a little Bluetooth keyboard they can use with their phones. That's pretty handy because we do a lot of communicating via text and phones. And so having a little keyboard you can sit in your car and type on instead of trying to type on your phone is pretty handy. But again, we didn't ask them for that and didn't expect it when it came. But it was a very nice touch. And when I did ask the guy, I said, that's a pretty cool gift. What'd you think about it? He said, I was thinking about you guys and the way your guys work and how they're always out in the field and how they are not in around a computer a lot. And you know what that tells us? Just the fact that he thought about that says, they really appreciate us. So that makes them a very valuable person to us, is that we really appreciate them. We're a customer to them. That shows they really do appreciate what we do, and we like that. Now, you can think of things in your own business you could do in that regard. So you can start off with some very simple things. You can just simply say thank you. You can train your people to say thank you. That's a very simple thing, but again, it doesn't always happen. Hey, thank you for coming in today. If it's a restaurant, hey, thank you for coming in today. I hope you enjoyed the food. Or if you're an air conditioning guy, hey, thanks for using us to come out to fix this. We really appreciate your business. You'd be amazed the mileage you get out of that. More to come on this Thanksgiving edition of Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield, back in just a moment. Welcome back to Driven to Business. Once again, happy Thanksgiving. Glad you're here talking about thankfulness or gratitude as a business strategy. And it certainly is one. Dr. Jeremy Drew wrote a blog, again, a couple of years ago, talking about gratitude. He calls it I'm not sure why it's new, but he calls it a miracle emotion. And 10 ways, he says, that gratitude can change your life. And so we'll talk about those a little bit. It will make you happier. That may sound almost funny, but gratitude makes people happier. It just does. And there was actually a little bit of a study done by this, and it found that people were 25% happier after practicing gratitude. And gratitude means different things to different people, as we talked about earlier. It could mean like counting your blessings, for instance. That's one thing to do. It could mean sort of savoring what life has given you, or thanking actually thanking somebody else, or even wonder at the natural world. Having been to Yellowstone and the Alps and the Grand Canyon and Glacier National Park and things of that sort, you do, and you look around and you just absolutely are astonished at what's around us, and it makes you very grateful. It gives you great feelings, but it actually makes you happier. Grateful people are happier. Conversely, you all know this. We mentioned this early in the program today. People that are arrogant and not thankful for anything, who feel entitled, generally are kind of miserable people. If you think about it, miserable people tend to make other people miserable. So they're sort of carriers of miserableness, if that's such a thing as that. But again, you're feeling kind of down. We used to play back. One of the first sales schools I ever went to was a door-to-door sales school. I was a kid, and I remember they taught us how to do a thing we call the friendly game, or they called the friendly game. Here's what it was: you'd go up on the front porch, and you're on somebody's porch here. You ring a bell. And they come to the door, and you start kind of giving them your pitch. Oh, I was selling books, what you're trying to sell. And, you're not always received that well. They're not always happy to see you. And one of the things they taught us to do, that if somebody really was just extremely rude to you at the front door, rather than just sort of tucking tail and walking away, here's what you said, and this took some training and some guts to do this. What you would say was, "Yes, ma'am, I'm sorry to bother you. Look, can I trouble you for a glass of water?" Now, they may just throw you off the porch. But there was an amazing thing happened if they did get you the glass of water. If they said yes and brought you the glass of water, when they brought you the glass of water, their demeanor would be changed. They would no longer be rude to you, because it's just about impossible to do a kind act for someone and not be kind to them. If you don't believe that, you try it. Having a fight with somebody, go do something very kind for them. What you will be surprised is that your attitude will change toward them. It's just what it does. In fact, some of the studies that company I was working for had done was that you were much more likely to make a sale to a person who had been rude to you and you had brought over this friendly game corner than you were somebody that was not rude to you. So that's an amazing thing. The idea that gratitude makes you happier is in the same genre as this. Being thankful, the act of being thankful, which is a conscious act, the act of being thankful will make you a happier person. And it's not just about feeling better. It's about thinking better. It's not just a fleeting emotion. It can be a thought that sustains you. That's why people who feel more gratitude also feel more satisfied with their lives. And people who are not, go back to this thing, people who are not thankful are generally leading miserable lives. They're not happy with their lives. But gratitude enables us to notice things that we do have, rather than mourning what we're missing all the time. There's a great story in the Bible about that, you know, that contentment with godliness is a great gain. And the idea of being content, it doesn't mean don't strive for better things. It just means, what it really means is enjoy the trip. You know, life's kind of a journey. Enjoy the whole journey, and don't just think about what you can't have. Think about the things that you do have. Some of you know the Eagles song, Desperado. I love this. There's a verse, I think, it says, "Seems to me," I won't sing it for you, "Seems to me some fine things have been laid upon your table, but you only want the things that you can't get." And, of course, the title of the song is Desperado, but that is a desperate person, isn't it? Somebody that ignores what's on their table and always looking for more things. Another thing gratitude does, gratitude is a motivator of other people. Again, it could be as simple as sending out a thank you email when somebody has helped you out. I don't know if you've ever been involved in church or in a civic club or something like that, or a neighbor's organization where you needed volunteers to do things, or, you know, school, a community type thing, where you need volunteers. Well, volunteers are sometimes a little bit difficult to get. We sometimes use the idea, I heard a guy say that we need to use the term, if you're trying to get volunteers, you should use the term voluntold. In other words, you call people up and say, you are going to volunteer. You didn't volunteer. I'm volunteering you. Basically, you're telling them to volunteer. But, you know, if you do things like that, and they say they're repetitive things, you've got a monthly whatever going on, and you need some help, volunteer help. You know, one of the ways to get those volunteers to return is an absolute proven, 100% proven way to do it, is to thank them for helping. Now, as simple as that sounds, most people don't do that. You get volunteers, they do it, and maybe you are appreciative of them, maybe you're nice to them, but you don't make a very special effort at thanking them for it. You may say thank you while they're there. Say, "Hey, thank you for coming." And that's fine. That's certainly better than nothing. But you know what really follows up better? If you send them a note or a phone call or a letter or something after it's over and say, "Hey, I really, really appreciate your help. Thank you for doing that." What you've just done is probably the next time you need help, you probably got another helper there. That applies to business. If you want people to help you out in business, like you need referrals, you need this, you need the other, when they do it for you, thank the heck out of them and be inventive in the ways that you do that. But, you know, and some of the studies that have shown that this is not just a supposition, these are studies. You know, some of the studies show that people do that simply not because they felt better after you said thank you, but because they appreciated being needed and they felt more socially valued. In other words, you sort of added value to them. The thing that a grateful life, have a thankful attitude does, is it reduces materialism. We all need stuff. Everybody needs stuff in their lives. We all got to have somewhere to live, you know, eat, wear, things of that sort. But gratitude combats materialism. because it helps us appreciate what we already have. As a Greek philosopher, Epicurus, here's what he said: do not spoil what you have by desiring what you have not. Remember that what you now have was once among the things you only hoped for. I read in another article where a guy, these researchers at a couple of colleges did an experiment. They took a fairly large group of people and they divided them into three groups. And they asked them to keep a record of what they did that day. And in one group, they were given no other instructions than just record all the events that happened to you today. They did. The second group, they said, we want you to record everything that happened to you today that's unpleasant. Everything unpleasant that happens to you, no matter how minor, write it down. And the third group, they said, we want you to write down things today that good experiences you had today and things that you were thankful happened. We want you to write those down. And they did this for a week. And this was several hundred people. They got them all back together. And what they found, not surprisingly, was that when they began to evaluate this a little bit, the people that wrote down what they were thankful for overall reported a much, much, much better week than the people who simply wrote down what they were unhappy for. The point is unmistakable. If you look for things to be thankful for, you will find them, and it will change you for the better. The same thing if we look for negatives. Now, there's a business principle here. You know, we talk all the time about you should not concentrate on problems in your business. Now, you're going to have problems in your business. You're going to have problems in your life and problems in any organization you're part of. There will be problems there, but you don't concentrate on those. Instead, it doesn't mean you ignore them. You may have to deal with them. You know, if you got some guy wanting to foreclose on your building, you're probably going to have to deal with that. But you know, spend the majority of your time concentrating on opportunities, because that's where the progress is going to be made, in opportunities, not in problems. Not problems, but opportunities. Get that done. Going back to this article here for a moment, the other thing he says is it increases your self-control. And what he mainly, if you read this article, what he mainly talks about in here is patience. That emotions, by being grateful, emotions foster self-control and reduces impatience with a simple gratitude exercise. Basically just saying, I'm having to stand in this line, but I'm so glad I'm not in the rain. You know, that's a kind of a crazy way of looking at it. But my wife is much better at this than I am, frankly. But it does open up a whole range of things that will help increase your happiness. And you know, it probably works, because when we're grateful, we feel less selfish. And that gives us more patience. Because really, in a way, and I'm a fairly impatient person, so I hate to admit this, but in a way, impatience is a form of selfishness, or at least self-centeredness, isn't it? Now, we can all justify it by saying, well, these people need to get their act together and so forth and so on. But really, honestly, at least for me, most of the time, it's about me. I don't want, like, being inconvenienced, so I'm thinking about me. But when you become more outward-focused and focus on the people around you, that does work. And by the way, that works in your business, too. The idea that, you know, instead of being impatient, I'm so astonished sometimes at how even large companies sometimes, when they're having a problem with a business product or something, they blame the customer. I see this in churches all the time too, you know, where something's not going right in the church and the leadership of the church wants to blame the congregation. And you know, that just doesn't resolve anything. You can't do that. You know, in business, you cannot blame your customer. You know, there's the old saying that I was told early on in my years in business is that you can never win an argument with a customer. You can only lose a customer. And you know, it's the same thing. That's the way it is in life. You can't argue with your customers. You can be grateful for them. And so that entire attitude makes you a much smarter and a more proactive business person, and a person that people want to do business with. And really, isn't that what you're striving for all along? To be a person that people want to do business with, that want to do repeat business with, and that will put dollars in your pocket as well as make you a happier person. You're listening to Driven to Business. Back in just a minute. Welcome back to Driven to Business. Let me say once again, happy Thanksgiving. By the way, today's program, as I've said already, it is being stream live on biz1190.com, and will be podcast, perhaps more importantly, this late in the program, on eddiemayfield.com and on iTunes. So check us out there. There's another, I feel like I've just been mainly running over magazine articles today. I don't mean to do that, but there's another one that I caught my eye that I read by a lady that I don't know much about, but she has a very nice blog. Her name is Marlissa Fabrega, and she wrote an article called How Gratitude Can Change Your Life. And it's an interesting little article here. And one of the things that she talks about in there is that, you know, all of us sort of have a happiness set point in our lives, meaning that we sort of default around some happiness. If you could think about it, in my world, electronic world, I would think about a PID, a proportional integral derivative controller, or set point controller. You can think in your house, maybe if you're not up on electronics, think in your house of your house thermostat. You know, you got it. You can set it at 70 degrees, and if you want your thermostat to be, you know, if you want the house to get a little warmer, you know, you go and you push the little arrows, and it goes up to 71, and now, you know, when the set point goes below 71, the heater will come on, it'll raise it up to 71, it'll turn the heater off, right? And there's, you know, there's all sorts of little adjustments there about maybe it'll turn it off. Is this on the way? It'll look at the rate of rise of temperature and all that kind of thing. But her point is that each of us have sort of got an internal set point on happiness. We're all sort of got some level of happiness there. And if you can raise that set point where that you're just sort of naturally happy, you may get, you know, you're and it'll go up and down. You may get happier and less happier, but you sort of settle back down back at that set point. Talked to here before, back when I first formed a company years ago, we would get, the reason I'm thinking about this, we just got some financial information today that I was looking at. It used to be that when I would look at our month's financials at the end of a month, I would either be extremely, extremely happy or extremely, extremely depressed. It seemed like I would just go these wide swings of emotion depending on how those look. Now, over time, I mellowed out a little bit in that regard, and now I take a little longer view of it. You know, you can't 1 month in business is not a particularly good measure of thing. You need to look at trends, so you need to look at least at quarters. And for many of you in many businesses, probably more like 6 months, even annually for some businesses. So you got to take a little longer view of it. But the idea was I had to gain a little high in my set point there. So it was like going all over the place. But one of the things that being grateful does, being grateful and being a person that has a thankful attitude, that tends to push up the set point of happiness in your life. It doesn't mean you don't come off being happy all the time. It's going to drop down a little bit on you, but it's going to go back up to a higher level if you're a person that regularly practices being gratitude. And of course, occasionally you're going to be extremely happy and giddy even perhaps over something, but that's not going to last either. We all know that. And it will settle back down, but it will settle back down to that higher level that you have sort of arranged your life around. It's a great thing to do. There's also in her article, she points out that there's a lot of research that shows that those who practice gratitude tend to be more creative. They come back quicker from adversity. They have a stronger immune system. That's right, and healthy. They have stronger social relationships than those who don't practice gratitude. Now, again, if you think about it a minute, who's going to have a strong relationship? A grumpy, unhappy grouch that's not thankful for anything, or somebody who's pleasant and thankful? Who's going to have strong relationships? That sort of goes without saying. Who wants to be around? You know, there are people that there are people that we've said, and I know some folks like this, that we've said, you know, they come in, they brighten a room when they come in. They come in the room, they brighten a room. Well, there are also people, and you know this for a fact, there are people who brighten a room when they leave. When they leave, the room gets brighter. And the point is, don't be that way. Now, what's that got to do with business? Again, your business can have an attitude. You can have that sort of atmosphere around your customers. Your customers can either be more joyful when they encounter your business, or they can be a lot less joyful when they encounter your business. If they come in and everybody in there is griping, I went in one of these little diner things here about 2 years ago. My wife and I went in, and the waitress and the cook were fighting. I don't mean like punching, but I mean like having a verbal battle. Well, we're sitting there listening to this, and you know it's getting more depressing by the minute. And all of a sudden, you know, the idea of having bacon and eggs doesn't sound all that good anymore. And we got them left. I mean, now that's an extreme situation, but make sure that when people engage your business, when they're there, that what they're getting back from you is a positive type atmosphere. And being grateful and being thankful is a big part of building an area like that. You know, we tend to take for granted the good that's around us. She talks about that there's a gratitude exercise, and I think it's a great idea. She says that take things that you really you should imagine that you lose some of the things that you take for granted. Think of things like your home or your car or even your ability to see, your vision or your hearing or your ability to walk or anything like that. Think of losing all those things. They're just gone from you. You don't have them anymore. And then imagine getting each of them back one by one when they come back. Like you can't see, and all of a sudden, and say you've been some period of time, a few months like this, and all of a sudden you get your vision back. Think how thankful you'd be to have your vision back. Well, her point is you should be thankful for the vision before it goes away. And you should think about what a blessing it is to have vision, what a blessing it is to be able to get up and walk around, what a blessing it is to be able to hear, what a blessing it is to have a home, to have adequate food, to have clothing, things of that sort. And knowing those kinds of things makes us happier and much more productive people than we would be otherwise. You know, one of the suggestions that she makes that I've never done, frankly, is the idea of keep a journal, writing down every day a list of 3 to 10 things that you are thankful for. And you can do it first thing in the morning or late at night. And another thing she's done that I have done is to think of someone in your past that's had a significant positive impact on your life. Perhaps a business colleague, a pastor, perhaps it could be your mom or dad or a friend or anybody that's had a great positive impact on your life, and sit down and write them a letter and thank them. Tell them why you're writing the letter. And this is not this can't be a BS letter. You can't just make up stuff that never happened. This got to be for real. I mean, in other words, don't just, you know, this should be very selective who you write this to. You won't have that many of these people in your life. You be careful who you do it for. And write those letters. And you'd be amazed. Not only do you brighten their day, it brightens yours. It brightens yours quite a bit. I've actually done that. And it really is an amazing thing. And finally, this, she talks about a guy, a minister in the Midwest that asked everybody in his church to go 21 days and to document it without complaining, criticizing, or gossiping. Sometimes some of us would have trouble doing that for an hour, but he said do it for 21 days. And to help condition them, he gave them a purple no complaint wristband they all wore. To kind of say, and so they would be able to sort of, you know, keep each other in line. Say, well, you're wearing that wristband, don't complain. And sometimes when our kids, we would take our kids to what we call family camp. We would say, okay, there's no whining at family camp. You know, in other words, no whining is allowed at any of these things. And you know, although that's sort of a funny way we would say it in a joke, we did mean it too. Like, okay, there's going to be no whining here. And you know, it actually works when you just say, okay, I'm not going to complain about things, and you stop doing it. All of a sudden, the happiness quotient goes up. Well, again, back to this whole thing of Thanksgiving. This wonderful American holiday we were first given an example is by the Pilgrims years ago, who were thankful not out of the fact that they had a fantastic year, but they were thankful anyway. They were thankful for the fact that they were still alive when so many of their colleagues had passed away. They were thankful for the fact that they had had a harvest that they could eat. They were thankful for life itself, because many of them had seen life snuffed out around them. And that may be, again, that's where we take our lessons from. By the way, it's a great business practice. Practice being thank you. Let your customers know you appreciate them. And don't forget your employees. Let your employees know they're valuable to you and that you appreciate them. They'll pay big rewards for you in business. You've been listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Visit next Saturday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190 for more Driven to Business. To learn more about Driven to Business, visit eddiemayfield.com or call 770-448-4644.